when we're thinking about the PR of this, I'm not throwing an orgy.
Flirting and kissing.
Kissing is already.
And that's where it stops, though.
Kissing already. No. I saw you wink.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, co-hosted this week yet again by also the one, the only, Meg Ruoco.
Let's go,
everybody.
Let's go.
Meg's back on the pod.
Can I get some W's in the chat for the pod?
Life is looking up. Suddenly, I feel happiness again.
Yeah.
And this is all that I really needed.
I want you to know that today I was in the office and I was thinking to myself, later I get to go have a little Diet Coke with Maddie.
Nope. And so true. It's exactly what's happening.
And cheers.
And cheers to that.
And cheers to that. And just kind of gossip and have a fun little evening.
And gossip we shall.
Nothing made me happier. Got me through the day.
Yeah. No. And I'm right there with you.
Excellent.
I was deep in rewatching old videos of mine this afternoon. I was editing. I was looking for old videos of like just summertime vibes.
I mean,
from the 2010s.
Love it. We need it.
So I was deep in search for those. And I ended up just watching back a ton of old videos. And I watched back some video that I did about prom.
Okay. Perfect.
And like promposals, prom season.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Were you at like prom age for this?
So there was a couple videos. One, I was at prom age. Okay. And then the other one was during my sister's prom. So it was 4 years later.
Okay. Beautiful. I wasn't sure if you were like 13 doing it for the love of the game. Like one day, right? I will be at prom.
One day prom is going to be big to me.
Prom will be really big.
No. But as I was watching it, I was thinking to myself that I don't think that prom should be for teenagers. I think that I should have prom now.
I think you're
prom
right.
Should be at age 28.
I think you're exactly right.
Why should a 17-year-old have prom?
Counterpoint to that, do we feel that that is what a high school reunion is?
Oh, fuck. No. I'm like, I should have prom among no one I went to high school with.
Okay.
Prom should be like, I don't know. I feel that there should be more social pillars in life beyond school, where it's like, okay, you're in high school with the same people, and then you go to college and you are in a similar group of people, and then you're just done being around the same people.
Yeah.
And I feel like we should create things that people are forced to do.
Yeah.
Or like really socially encouraged to do that aren't expensive learning endeavors. You know what I mean?
Like, I do.
I should be 28 years old, forced to join a fucking shuffleboard league and go to shuffleboard prom.
All I want for you is to go to shuffleboard prom. And I mean that.
It would be fun.
I was talking about this recently with friends of mine, not exactly the same, but kind of similar vein. And I do think that this is ultimately why I would want a prom, is that it freaks me out that as an adult, anyone that you interact with could be a twin.
Okay, fucked up.
And you,
yeah, and you
wouldn't know.
Never.
Because when you go to school when you're young, you're like, oh yeah, those are like the Miller twins. We know those. We know those fucking guys. They're always in getting into business. What's so crazy is that like when I was in grad school, I went almost the entirety of the program not knowing that like one of the people in my 10-person class was an identical twin. And that's really fucked up.
That is fucked up.
And so I think that prom would be able, like, we'd be able to find out
totally
who twins are at prom.
Sure.
So it's twofold.
Get your twin here.
Get your twin here.
Twin prom.
Twin prom.
BYOT.
BYOT. I think it's one of those things where it's like the cop thing where it's like, legally, if you're a twin, you have to tell me.
Right.
And legally, if you're a twin, you have to bring them to adult prom.
Adult prom. Shuffleboard prom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I'm loving this.
Would it be, would your prom, would like 28 year old prom be the same, like have all the same elements as like,
yeah,
like it would be in like a Garden Hilton hotel lobby or some shit.
We're talking like classic prom vibes, except I'm way more capable of serving cunt than I was when I was 17.
And I think that ultimately is actually the crux of the issue here. Is that we are given an opportunity at too early of an age.
Completely.
To be effectively the cuntiest we need to be ever.
There is not enough opportunities to give like drama like that.
Yeah.
Beyond prom.
Beyond prom.
Unless you're getting married.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't need another person. I should just be able to serve cunt solo time.
I think that's really fair.
Because also, like at a wedding, you're like splitting the job of cunt.
Well, if it's hetero, are you splitting the job of cunt? Like,
he can try.
He's just wearing some fucking suit. Give it your best shot, I guess.
Yeah.
Scottish wedding. Maybe he's able to serve some more cunt because he's in a kilt.
That's true.
That would be hot.
Big win for Scottish men.
Yeah.
I just... It shouldn't be prom to wedding. That's the gap. Mm. What's in between? I don't want to be a child bride.
No.
And also, like, I feel like the vibe of a wedding is like, it's sort of like your joint sleigh. Like, you have to, like, make your outfits, which I guess people do this for prom too, but not really. Yeah. Like, for prom, it was just like, I'm going to pick the baddest fucking dress and I don't give a fuck what my date wears. Wear nothing for all I care.
What did you wear to prom?
So my I don't like it.
Well, again,
but it was very of the time.
None of us were able to serve cunt in the way that the way that we wanted to.
I still believe that I served the maximum amount of cunt that was allowed in the year 2014.
It's just that your threshold was
it was much lower. Okay, so everyone, and I don't know that this would be the path. I know it would not be the path I would choose now. But I went for a black prom dress because everyone was doing those funky pastels at the time. That was like the prom vibes.
Yeah.
That was my first rejection of the prom standard.
That's awesome.
My second rejection of the prom standard is I hate an updo. So I was like, my hair is going to be down and it's going to be curled.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're giving Princess Mermaid.
Love it.
The thing that I don't stand by any longer is I went for a high-low dress. Which was very of the time.
It's of the time.
But unfortunately, looking back now, I'm like, why can I see my knees?
Knees are out.
My knees were present at prom with the scar on my left one. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, I have a scar on my, well, not my knee, but on my leg also. You can probably see it right here.
How'd you get it?
Smashed my leg into a big rock in Lake Michigan.
Okay, I slipped on black ice.
Let's go.
Fucked up forever.
Pow, pow, pow.
So I don't love those photos looking back on them.
Sure.
And I regret having a date. I should have just gone by myself.
Mm, I can confirm I went solo. Not by choice. I went solo to prom. Actually thought that one of my choir buddies was going to ask me to prom. Hmm. He did not ask me to prom. He asked another person to prom. I was all sad, sad, sad. And then I ended up going with my friends and like kind of a random selection of other people. And I think that was also kind of the first night that I realized that I love to shake some ass.
Dude.
That was kind of like a coming of age night for me. Not because I like lost my virginity at prom or whatever, but because like I was out on the dance floor, like, shaking ass.
Yeah.
Shaking ass, sweating so hard. Uh-huh. The entire night, I was wearing the little, like, plastic sunglasses that they, like, gave you where it was, like, starry night for the Spartan seniors. And I was wearing them all night, and I was, like, in the zone, truly just shaking ass. Mm-hmm. Like,
too good.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. And I was, like, I want to do this forever.
Right. I spent most of prom running away from my date.
Yeah.
Which also, like, so
did they deserve it? Number one.
Well, okay. I think I was awkward about it. It was my fault. Completely. I'll take this one.
I don't
this
believe
one was on me.
I don't believe
no,
you.
I asked him to prom. Mm-hmm. This was one of my friends from theater camp who lived a couple towns over.
Okay.
I invited him to prom. Mm-hmm. I also actively had a crush on his best friend. So I don't know why I didn't just ask him. Or maybe it I don't know.
Were you trying to like throw his best friend off the trail?
No, I didn't even think about it because I was closer with him than I was his best friend. So I was like, I'm just going to go to prom with my bestie from theater camp.
Yeah.
So I asked him. And then when we got to prom and the like slow dances would happen, I was like, well, I really don't want to slow dance with him.
Oh no.
And so, but I was really fucking awkward about it. So mm-hmm. like the slow songs would come on and I'd just be like, I think I need some air. And I would like walk outside and he's following me the whole time because obviously he doesn't know anybody there.
Right.
Obviously I was an asshole, but I like didn't know how to be like, we don't have to do that.
Right.
Like we are bestie hours and I have a crush on your best friend.
And also, like, fully, you could have just slow danced and, like, totally, it probably would have been totally, fine.
Totally, it would have been so normal.
It would have been fine.
It would have been so normal post style. But I was, like, obviously, I'm a major overthinker. So.
No.
I think I spent most.
When?
No. When did that happen?
When?
Diagnosed.
Not the girl I know.
So I spent most of my prom, not shaking ass, but battling my anxiety.
Okay. Okay.
Those were my vibes.
Two different proms. Two different
totally.
Proms. You did your prom sober, I imagine?
Yes.
I did my prom sober as well. Didn't realize that people were drinking at
neither,
prom.
And honestly, I didn't drink until after I graduated high school.
And what's crazy is like I did start drinking in high school and then I also did prom like so sober. Was entirely sober at prom.
It was like they made us after prom go to the high school and they would set up the gym with a bunch of like inflatables and like a hypnotist and whatever the fuck else. We were required to stay there until like 5 a.m.
Yes.
So it was like kind of hard. You'd have to like really sneak in alcohol.
It's
like if you were going to prom, you were required to go to the school afterwards. There was nobody that was allowed to skip that.
Okay.
Because they were trying to make sure that we didn't drink.
Right. Yeah. We had that, but like not during prom. We had that, but like some random ass night where it's like, well, we're all gonna get drunk at prom then.
Totally.
Besides me, of course. I was there just like having
sober as hell.
Having a ball sober as hell. But I did like in my group that I went with, it was like me, you know, and a few of my very, very close friends and then some like just real randos.
Yeah.
Couldn't even tell you, like gun to my head, I don't know maybe what their names are now. But I know that there was one other guy in that group of people who was there single, and this one of the guys in our like prom group kept trying to like bring us together. Like he, for whatever reason, made it his mission that night to be like,
weird.
And I'm going to link these two.
No.
And they will be together.
No, thank you.
And not for nothing, he was a ginger and we know how I feel about dating other gingers. That's my blood. Love them down. Love them down. That's family right there. But like, we are related.
Totally.
Trace us back. We've got the same great grandmother.
Yeah.
We were on the farm together. We were facing famine. Him and me, we are one. We are linked. I love him. Wasn't into
Can't
it.
Can't do that.
Also couldn't emphasize how not into it he was. Like,
it
was a
he felt
mutual.
Same page.
Mutual.
No inter-ginge
we
mingle.
We looked at each other and we were like, we'll see you at the family reunion. Like, we were like, we were not about it. And that was the entire weekend. And I do remember, because also we like went to his lake house at one point and his lake house was fucking sick. It had like, we went tubing. It had a bunch of like water sport gear, whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point like going up to this guy who kept trying to link us together the entire weekend. And I was like, you need to stop.
Right.
And I was like, it's not cute.
Relax.
It's not interesting. I don't want to be a part of it. And you need to stop.
Yeah.
And he thought he was like being all cute and fun. And then I think he saw me mad for maybe the first time in like the 12 years that we had gone to school together. And he was like, okay, I will stop. I'm sorry that I did that.
That's so funny.
It was such a strange. Did like prom queen or king mean anything at your high school?
No, they drew it out of a hat.
Yeah, same.
It was like they made it all random. It was anybody who got it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No one voted.
No one voted. They literally just put everyone's names in a hat.
One of my best friends was prom queen because she was voted for prom queen. But like it wasn't. Like people were still mingling and music was still playing like while it was announced.
Huh. That's interesting.
It was really like haphazard.
The thing that my school did that was weird, and this is why I felt pressured to have a date, was because before prom, they did something called Grand March. So before we all went
like a promenade.
Yeah. Before we all went to prom, the whole town would come to the school, sit in the gymnasium, like set up like graduation, and one by one couples would walk onto the stage, they'd be announced, and then they'd walk down the aisle together.
What happened if you didn't have a couple?
You just were announced solo. But the amount of confidence that would have taken for a 17-year-old to strut up there by themselves and then walk down like it's a fashion show.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to fucking have a date or I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Because everyone had a date. So you would be like one of a handful of people without one at Grand March if you didn't. Which that was, if Grand March didn't exist, I probably would have gone by myself.
Yeah.
It was that I was like, well, that's mortifying.
No, you're like, well, I need my safety net for the humiliation ritual that's about to happen.
Totally. Because also it was like, I already felt so like embarrassed about the fact that nobody was gonna ask me and I was gonna have to ask my friend from a couple towns over to come with me that I met at fucking theater camp.
I mean, a friend's like, a friend.
Listen,
a get to get.
My friend had to come with me.
We'll take it.
So I was already embarrassed enough about that, and then to like make us walk down the aisle together in front of everyone.
That is horrifying.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
What? Towns are so fucking weird.
Yeah.
I do love hearing about like the random shit that like weird ass like suburban towns will just like make kids do. And then it's like, oh yeah, well, it's the Grand March.
Right. It's obviously.
And it's like
time for Grand March. We have to get ready, do photos at the house. Then we go to Grand March. Then from Grand March, we'll go to the prom venue, which our prom venue burnt down 2 weeks before prom. That was the other part of it. And Ashley was vice president of our class. So she was like in charge of figuring all this out. And it was me, Ashley, and two of our other friends. It was like a Friday night. We were out getting pizza and Ashley just gets a text and she's like, oh God, the prom venue's on fire. And we turn on like, we open up fucking Twitter or something.
Right.
And there's all these news stations. Like the whole fucking country club was up in flames. And we were like, what?
Oh.
This was like 2 weeks before prom.
Why was it Ashley's responsibility to find a new location?
Ashley's like, what do we do? We're 17 years old in a pizza restaurant.
And that's a Lana Del Rey song. 17 years old in a pizza restaurant. That is so insane.
Our prom menu's burnt to a crisp.
We gotta figure this out, guys.
It's up to Ashley to solve this problem.
Like, it really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It so shouldn't be.
Great times, though.
Great times. So, yeah, I do think that we deserve a prom at 28. I do believe that.
Someone make 28-year-old prom.
In theory, I feel like that's supposed to be, like, when our friends get married and shit, we show up and like serve cunt. But here's the problem. Most of the weddings I've been to have been my family members.
Yeah.
Tough to serve cunt at a family wedding. I'll say
really
that.
Tough.
I still do it because
for sure
it's impossible for me not to.
It's genetic.
That's just, that's just built in, baby. But it's like, I haven't really experienced like going to like a friend's wedding.
I know.
Where it's like, it's a friend's wedding, but also there are like some cute, like maybe single people there that I can talk to.
Yeah.
I haven't really done that.
My friend's wedding. I went to the first one of my friends to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Went to her wedding back in October. I'm going to another friend's wedding this summer.
Fun.
But I feel like my friend back in October, everyone there was coupled up.
That is the tough part too, is that at all these fucking weddings, everybody is also in a relationship.
I know.
Or engaged or married or whatever the fuck. And I'm like, okay, where's everyone trying to get down?
Yeah.
Can you put me at the table where everyone's trying to get down?
I know.
I went to a friend's wedding at one point. Going to a wedding where you like the person that you know the best is either in the bridal party or getting married.
Sure.
Is hard.
Yeah.
I learned that a couple years ago. I like went to one of my friend's weddings. Love her so much. But the people that I knew the best were her and then one of my best friends who was her sister slash maid of honor. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think about the fact that the entire wedding, I was going to have to be like either the person who like wasn't saying anything to anybody and everyone was like, who's that fucking freak over there? Or the jester of the wedding.
Yeah.
Because you kind of, there kind of is no in between.
Yeah.
So I was sitting at the table of a bunch of college friends who mm-hmm. all have known each other for 8 years. And I was like, I'm either saying nothing this entire night because no one's going to ask me a fucking question. Or I'm like, so tell me about you. You seem like such a card. Oh yeah. My, I bet you did some crazy things yeah. during college.
Yeah.
And it was wild. Like yeah. it is a strange, that is like a strange facet of wedding etiquette where you're like, oh, I have to like mentally prepare to like maybe do a little show mm-hmm. myself.
Totally. Kicking into high gear.
Kicking into high gear.
Yeah.
And when you're the jester, you can't really serve cunt.
No. I'm trying to bring the energy, bring the vibes.
Right.
And I'm also serving 42-year-old man at a sports bar and his team is losing.
You can't, it removes a lot of the mystique and totally. Mystery.
The mystery that I can't seem to put my finger on.
The mystery is gone.
Gone. The mystery died many years ago, okay? The mystery died upon the creation of YouTube.com. Whoever let me learn about it.
Yeah.
Killed my shot at mystery. Okay, you motherfuckers.
Unfortunately, I fear that
it's dead.
It's
fine.
Yeah.
It's dead though.
That was you had one foot gone. In the grave.
Listen.
And what have can you for do? A decade. I will do everything in my power to put together a 28-year-old prom.
Okay. Cause it would be kind of awesome. Have you ever been to a dentist that won't stop talking to you while they're cleaning your teeth? Or maybe a therapist that only has openings in the middle of the workday? Or if you're really lucky, a primary care doctor that has a 6-month waiting list just to get you in for a simple checkup? Well, I'm here to tell you that you do not have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor, because with ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with over 100,000 doctors across every single specialty. From mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care to dermatology, you can filter for doctors that take your insurance, are located nearby, and are a good fit for any medical need that you may have. Once you find the right doctor for you, you can see their actual appointment openings, choose a time slot that works for you, and click to instantly book a visit. And appointments made through ZocDoc typically happen fast, between like 24 to 72 hours of making your appointment. And in some cases, you may even be able to score same day appointments. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and head to ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline to find and instantly book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline. ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline.
My friends and I have been talking about, well, and when I say my friends and I have been talking about, I mean, they have been trying to strong arm me into doing this, hosting what they are calling a flirting party.
Okay. Loving this idea. And you know so many people. Like, Meg is very well connected. You're like the most social person I know in New York.
Thank you so much. I really yeah. appreciate that.
So I think that you would be honestly the perfect person to host a flirting party.
Well, here's the thing is that I did overshoot the last party that I threw, and I ended up at one point there were like 90 people in my home at mm-hmm. once, and that was too many.
Yeah.
That was too many. I needed to pull back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But my friends have, they recently came to me and they said, we need to throw a party.
Yeah. And somebody can do spin the bottle.
Okay.
I've never done that. I think it could be fun.
I want to say that those words came out of you like a spirit being released.
I think it could be a lot of fun.
It was coming from a place that you've been holding so deep inside you.
Okay, dude, I love kissing.
Yeah, don't act fucking nonchalant about it. You're clearly so excited.
I'm just saying, this could be huge for a promo of the flirting party.
That's true.
It's like a little hint that perhaps
we'll
there
have
could
spin
be
the bottle.
Some spare empty bottles hidden in various rooms.
Well, here's the line that we need to toe.
And a closet door that locks for 7 minutes exactly.
Okay, it's getting a little scary. Well, here's the thing. Here's the line that we need to toe here is that we're at an age, right, where like if I say flirting party or whatever, people might think that what I'm throwing is an orgy.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
No, we've got to
be,
really
so
specific
clear
about
the fact when we're thinking about the PR of this. I'm not throwing an
flirting
orgy.
Flirting and kissing.
Kissing is already.
And that's where it stops, though.
Kissing already. No. I saw you wink. Here's
Listen.
The thing. I would feel fine about all of this if it wasn't the fact that the location they want it to be at is my
Your
home.
Home. Well, you do have a great home for a flirting kissing party.
I don't know why I brought this up.
Tell your friends I'm all in.
Okay, great. I'll add you to the group chat that I'm sure exists.
And I can, if the numbers are off,
uh-huh.
And you're trying to like, you've got like 70% women, 30% men, I can rally the 3 men that I know.
Okay. We've got one. I think out of all the women that I know, I think I do know the most men. Like, I'm
For sure.
Surrounded for, I mean, constantly.
Of all the... Here's the thing. I feel like of all... This has been my problem, is that I have, like, 1 or 2 male friends. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else I know is, like, girls and gays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of my friends, that is also the case for them.
Yeah.
So when we all look around at each other and it's like, can you guys introduce me to anyone? And it's like, you've met everyone. You've literally met everyone because we've hung out with them constantly.
Right.
There's no like mystery
right.
single people. Definitely no mystery straight men.
I'm not hiding anybody.
No.
The thing is, too, is that like, because I know a lot of straight men. Well, first of all my roommates are in relationships. Mm. But you better believe that I was pimping those guys out when they were single.
Totally.
Absolutely. Tossing them. I was going, absolutely, give it your best shot. But the thing is that like when I then ask those guys where I'm like, oh, do you guys have like single people, single men, whatever? They're all like either no, or if they are single, it's for a reason and I'm not going to introduce you to them.
Yeah, that's 100%. My friend... You know what? Let me not say the name of this person. One of my friends who I, in college especially, had gone to so many times being like, you have a boyfriend. You have like way more male friends than I do. Like, do you know anybody, any single people that might want to go out with a beautiful, lovely, sexy woman such as myself? Mm-hmm. And she would always like be like, okay, so there's this person. And then I'd be like, okay, and she's like, I would feel like an evil person if I introduce you to any of them because really you are real. Actually significantly better than any of them.
Yes.
You're like, this one, very cute, and also he is unemployed and has no intention of getting a job.
No, real.
And I'm
real.
Like, okay, they're like, he's an aspiring director, thinks that he shouldn't get a job because he's going to go straight to the top. So he is unemployed, but he does want to be a director. And I'm like, you know what? I am good, actually.
I'm good. I'm good on that.
Thanks for looking out, but you were right.
Thank you. Thank
Don't
you,
introduce me to that man.
Like, I do I'm not want to know actually. That person. And that's what's so tough. Yeah, is I'll be like, oh, yeah, here's like a single guy. And I'm like, yeah, he's like cute. He's tall. He is an unemployed improv comedian.
And I'm like, you know what? You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, and so, that's fine. It's give and take. It's give and take.
And I have taken before.
Well, certainly I have partook.
Listen, I can't even fault him for that. I get the appeal.
Sometimes I'm actively trying to partake, even when I know all of that stuff.
Yeah, fuck it. Give me an improv comedian.
Give me a fucking... And as a matter of fact, the improv comedian, even that part of it, it's like they're out of work in the improv part, right? So it's like, give me an out of work... Right. Improv comedian.
Give me your poor.
Who hates his life. Give me your poor. Give me your poor.
I'll take them.
It's crazy. Listen, open arms. Free country.
Come on. That's what they say.
Free country.
Right here.
Right here, baby. Land of the free.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so flirting party.
Flirting party could be huge.
It's forthcoming. I'll keep you posted.
But you know what would be, like, I think I'm more interested in, like, the fallout of the flirting party.
Oh, me too.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That could be huge for culture.
It could be major. Well, any good party has a little bit of drama.
This specific party, though, is a recipe for something so much greater.
Absolutely. I mean, it could be one of those things that I, like, yassify, and I, like, mm-hmm. go online and I'm like, I'm throwing a party. Me, 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 be, de, yeah. be. But I kind of don't want to do that.
Yeah. Vetted for cool people only.
Vetted for cool people only, I think.
BYO cool friend, and we'll just keep the good vibes going.
BYOCF.
All of the sexiest people I know are getting ghosted, including me.
Wait, who are you getting ghosted? No, the people that you went on the date with? Mm. No.
Yeah.
Wait, tell me everything.
Yeah. So the long and short of it is, obviously I went on, we talked about this on the after show last week, so if you want all the juicy details, join the Patreon, but... 2 weeks ago we talked about this. Let me not lie on the main pod.
Hold on. Chat, did we just catch her in a lie?
I still have to tell you the story of the terrible date that I went on.
Yes, I did not hear about the famous 43-minute date. Yeah,
maybe even less than that, to be honest.
Really horrifying.
It was really cuckoo bonkers bananas bad. Mm-hmm. Bad. I'll tell you those details off mic. But okay,
perfect.
Then I went on another date that same week that was so good, like cuckoo bananas, how much we had in common.
Yeah.
Was loving his vibe. Immediately set up a second date that same night. Ooh. Of our first date.
Love that.
Like literally 3 days later, mm-hmm. went on this second date that was also awesome. Mm-hmm. And then just never heard from him again.
No.
Yeah. Well, we had like a weird text exchange. So I basically haven't heard from him.
Hmm.
Yeah. The long and short of the text exchange was that after our second date, I waited a couple days and then I texted him to ask how this event he was throwing went.
Okay.
And in response to me asking that, he just sent me pictures.
Oh,
two pictures of the event with no words. And I was like, you have a lot of nerve ignoring a beautiful woman like me.
Yeah.
You have a lot of nerve. So I just hearted the image and left it. And then he responded. He sent me a text. I'm trying to like figure out how to take the detail out of what he said. But he, after I hearted the image, he just sent me a text that was like, now that's an event. That was it.
What?
And that was our only word exchange after we had what I perceived to be a great date.
And at the end of date two, were you guys like...
At the end of date two, he was like, so what should we do on our next date?
Oh.
And said he would plan it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that was my initial question, as I was like, maybe he was like, oh, we'll see if like she's interested, blah, blah, blah. Because it's like not great, but some people do that.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was like, I'll plan it.
Mm. And I vocalized direct interest in him. So
maybe he died.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, he had a brain injury. He forgot who I was.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's annoying to me because we do have similar hobbies and frequent similar places.
Yeah.
So the odds of us running into each other are not zero.
That is so a real like, shame.
If you realize that you aren't ready to date, like you're not that into me, you think we're a mismatch, whatever it is, just tell me.
Yeah.
We could have been cool.
Right.
I like barely know you. It wasn't going to be that deep. But because you didn't use your words, now it is that deep to me.
Right.
Because that's annoying.
Well, he was weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was
and
weird.
And what the hell is up with that?
He was really...
Everyone needs to stop being so fucking weird all the time and just use words.
Well, we were talking about this earlier.
They're big boy or get off dating apps.
They're doing it on purpose.
They are doing it on purpose.
I genuinely do believe that they are doing it on purpose. I literally just last night, I was out with a couple of my friends and one of my friends was getting like picked up for like a second date with this guy who she really liked, whatever. Mind you, my friend is one of the most beautiful women in the world. Like she is not only like, and not only in like just she just like fits the beauty standard type way, but she is also just like so smart, so funny. She has like a cool job. She like has everything. Yeah. And she was like, a little upset because he hadn't really texted her after their first date, but then like they had planned a second date. He didn't follow up until like day of, a little bit later than she wanted, but she was like, we'll give it a second date and like see what happens and whatever. Whatever. I won't make a comment about his appearance other than his hair, which I thought was bad. He picks up my friend and we're like, okay, like they're on their second date, blah, blah, blah. And after we finish up drinks, my friend and I were like, let's check on her little dot and then we can go spy on her on her date. Let's check on her location. And we are like, you know, trying to find her, whatever, but we end up not being able to find her. And so we send a text in our group chat and we're like, oh, like we weren't able to find you, but you're like on your way back to your place, like wink, wink, blah, blah, blah. Have a good night. And she replies like 20 minutes later and she was like, what I was actually doing was getting rejected. And she reveals that between drinks and the dinner that they were supposed to have, he tells her that he only sees her as a friend, which he felt after date one, felt this past weekend, but still wanted to see her again because he likes spending time with her.
Bro, shut up!
And wanted to have dinner and could they be friends?
No!
And then she revealed that she paid for drinks that they had.
I could kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
And she had what I thought was an absolutely beautiful response is she was like, that's nice that you want to be friends. Respectfully, I already have so many friends
right,
that
that's not what I was looking for.
Like struggle to spend time with already because of how my life is and how like social my world is. I don't have time for like a new friend. Also, he said that, he gets 120 likes on Hinge every single day.
Yeah, okay.
And he really just wants to be open to what else is out there.
Oh my God. I wish him nothing but sadness and despair.
I wish him exclusively despair. What I said to my friend today is I was like, that man quite literally got beginner's luck with you. And then he was like, everyone's going to be like this.
Also, sorry, why is he lying?
No, right.
Why is he lying?
Babe, I saw you.
Yeah,
you
sorry.
Don't get 120 likes on Hinge every single day.
Yeah, sorry. No, you don't.
You absolutely don't.
120 a day.
120 a day is crazy. And also, like, sorry, you just want to, like, see what else is out there.
Also, why even say that out loud?
You don't need to say anything.
Even
of that.
If that was true, which by no it's stretch not. Of the imagination is it, but even if it was true, why say that out loud?
Right, that's just like mean.
You're just being an ass.
You're just being mean.
Yeah, sorry. There's 120 different women that want me every single day. So,
bro,
I
they're just like
kind of like really make sure I'm picking the best one, and I just don't know if it's you. I don't know that you need this reminder. It sounds like you probably do. Every woman is out of every man's league, and I need you to never forget this
forever.
For as long as you live.
Forever.
You fucking idiot.
Forever. He literally went, he was like, I'm just like surrounded by smokes. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, that's just, bro, that's just how I live. That's just me. Like, you're an idiot. You're the dumbest boy alive.
I can't.
You are the dumbest boy alive.
Ugh.
Get a grip. And it's crazy because, again, one of the hottest women I know getting ghosted by a nothing man.
Totally.
He looked like if someone made a wish for the color beige to become a person. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say. All of his features just kind of blended together.
Holy shit.
I hope he sees this. I hope it's on your page.
I hope you see this. Oh my God. You know who you are.
I can't. Yeah, it's diabolical.
It's diabolical.
Every woman I know is in this purgatory right here.
And there, again, it's like every single woman is like stunning, beautiful, amazing, so funny, so interesting, like has so much going on in their lives, are deigning to even spend an iota of time with a man. And they go, I don't know if this is really what I want. Go fuck yourself.
Totally.
Get fucked.
I've been having a good laugh about this one. Like, it wasn't funny at first. When I was first getting ghosted, no part of this was funny to me.
Was not funny.
I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
This is fucked up. But now I'm like, no, this is actually hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, everything about this is so funny to me. And also, it is so irritating. And like, uniquely vulnerable.
Yes.
Because I liked our dates.
Yeah.
I wish that I didn't like him. I wish that I was like, yeah, that date was really weird and bad. Definitely not for me.
Yeah.
But I left that date being like, oh, I had a lot of fun. I'd love to see him again. And then he ghosted me and I'm like, oh my God. Ah! Like, it's so bad. I'm like, that is terrifying. And also, like, I am objectively like, fuck. But I was saying in August, I was joking, we were building furniture with me a couple nights ago.
Yeah, saw the progress. Listen, of that.
We were having a grand old time.
It looks great.
All fucking night.
Yeah.
So we were building furniture and I was telling them this whole story and laughing about it. And I was like, I feel like there has been, I've been talking about the Maddie Renaissance.
The Madisonce.
The Madisonce is here.
It's upon
it's
us.
Happening. I'm like, if I can get ghosted in the Madisonce, all bets are off for everyone.
Yep.
I'm being ghosted as the baddest version of myself that has ever existed.
Yeah.
Like, this, that is not looking good for the culture.
No,
it's not. Really like a very bad look. We the PR department needs to have a meeting after this one.
Yes.
Oh, it's so fucked up.
It's fucked. It's absolutely fucked. It's like, if I have to meet like one more guy who is so mediocre and then like 2 to 5 months later, they introduce me to like their new girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit a crime.
Yep.
I'm going to commit a crime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
I will say that I am currently experiencing what I can only describe as the flukiest fluke I've ever had in my life. I almost don't want to say it out loud because I'm afraid that it will somehow reverse it. That somehow it will reverse what is happening.
Yeah.
But as you know, I picked up a man on the street.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Outside of a bar one night. We were both at the same bar. It was not a sex work situation on my part. or
totally
a man experiencing no housing. It was not totally that.
Bushwick Street vibes.
It was Bushwick Street vibes. Weather. It was warm weather.
This is what happens.
We struck up a conversation outside of a bar. I had already called my Uber. The Uber rolled around and I said, this is crazy, but would you maybe wanna? And he said, yes. And then that... led
and who can blame him?
And who can?
Come on.
And finally, someone's doing something right.
Taste.
Taste. And I will say again, I don't know, but like, he has been so normal and nice, and I have seen him multiple times since, mm-hmm. and kind of loving these vibes. So I'm not saying to go out and pick up a random person on the street.
But like, who knows?
But like, I am saying that it is really worked for me. in a way I couldn't have predicted. And like, that was all because I was rejected in the bar by a man wearing compression socks, basketball shorts, a leather crossbody, like fanny pack, a knit polo top, and sunglasses perched atop his head, attached by croquis. That man in the bar rejected me. The man outside of the bar, so sexy, immediately said yes to coming home with me. He rocks.
Okay, I think this is a great metaphor. Like, I think that this is really good, though.
I agree.
This is, like, rerouting the energy for
me. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because right now, I am walking out of the bar. I'm still in the bar.
Right.
I just experienced the rejection, and I am slow motion walking out of the bar.
You are experiencing, and let me just paint this really detailed picture for you. You are experiencing a 36-year-old man who has spent the entire night hovering around you and your friends, telling you, the person he's been flirting with all night, that he's just doing friends right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking from experience. So that's what happened to you. You're slow motion walking out of the bar.
Slow walking.
And you are about to run into a very sexy man
outside the bar
who is about to ask you for the time, even though he knows the time, and then tell you that you're gorgeous.
And you just have to take a leap of faith in that moment.
And you gotta go.
Yeah. Okay, loving this energy, though.
Yeah.
I did have fun, though, while it lasted.
I mean, it's...
Until I got ghosted, I had a great time.
It is nice. It is nice to, like, go on a date and experience a fun date and be like, oh yeah, dates can be fun.
Right.
That is a little victory.
I could meet someone that I enjoy and have a good time with.
That is a little victory in and of itself.
And they could still ghost me.
Right.
So you know what? Nothing's off the table, you guys. It's still the Madisons.
He couldn't handle the heat.
Listen, if he can't rise to the Madisons occasion.
Well, and that's exactly it.
He can't get the 28-year-old prom invite.
No. Oh, I'll tell you what, brother. That dude's walking solo at the Grand March. If I have anything to say about it, I'm doing the announcements. I'm going, here comes this fucking loser.
And I'm mispronouncing his name, too. On purpose.
On purpose.
I don't care how easy it is.
And there's going to be a long pause, and I'm going to go, what is he wearing?
Oh, the mic's on?
Oh.
Well, what is he wearing?
Anyway, did he even do any extracurriculars? I haven't seen this guy before in my life. No, it's such a shame, though. It is such a shame, like, going on a date where you're like, wee, deep, boop, beep, that was so fun. Right. And then, like, you just, like, don't hear anything. And you're like, am I actually a gremlin? Am I a gremlin unfit for this earth and this realm?
When I got into therapy, that like first week after with my therapist, I was like, so I'm going to tell you everything.
No, right.
And you're going to tell me if I'm fucking crazy. I'm like, you're going to tell me if I've lost the fucking plot and I did something outrageously inappropriate.
Right. Do you think you're going to keep dating like throughout the summertime?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
So stupid dumb, though.
Dude, really stupid dumb.
Because also, like, it could have been so normal.
And that's the thing about these situations. Every single time.
That is my biggest critique.
Always.
So I'm like, you made this so weird. This actually did not have to be this weird. You could have just, at the end of the second date, been like, I don't know if I'm ready for the same things that you're ready for. I don't know if I'm getting the romantic vibe from this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if whatever the reason was, you could have just said that. And even if you didn't say it at the end of date two, if you realized a couple days later and then said it, could have been so normal.
Yep.
And when we run into each other because I'm convinced we will run into each other given the overlaps in our interests. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be fucking weird. And it shouldn't have to be.
They always do that.
And if I hear of any more beautiful, sexy, gorgeous, talented, intelligent, emotionally locked in bitches being ghosted, I'm going to start hexing some men.
Oh, I'm getting swiftly, into spells.
Swiftly. Okay. In fact, I may already be there.
I've been holding back up until this point.
One wrong move, suddenly you guys are dealing with some fucked up karma for the rest of your miserable lives.
I'm making freaky little voodoo dolls in my bathroom.
Completely.
And I'm sticking needles in your eyes.
Yeah. Don't. That's scary. That's scary. Really scary. You should be scared of that possibility. Stop ghosting hot bitches or we're gonna make voodoo dolls.
Think about that.
I don't know how much clearer we can be.
I literally, like, would you rather get both of your eyes mysteriously fall out of your head and it feels like sharp needles are poking into your eyeballs? Or would you rather send a cursory text?
Yeah.
Think about, those are your two options.
Two options.
Those are the only options
Pick
that you have.
Pick the normal one.
Me, personally, I would send a text, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's, listen, not to get crazy.
Not to get crazy. I guess I don't want my eyeballs to get poked out by ghost needles.
Not preferable.
Food for thought.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Dude, let's get into these freaking submish. The submish box.
The submish.
All right. This is the one that I had a pretty harsh reaction to the first time that I read it in the box.
I'm ready to receive it with pure intentions and a heart of gold.
Hi, Maddie. I have a quite complicated one for you, so buckle up. I have just finished my first year at university, and my absolute best friends I've made happen to be a couple of 2.5 years. I instantly clicked with my flatmate, let's call her Elle, and met her boyfriend, Tom, on the same day. Over the course of our friendship, I realized I had a lot in common with Tom, and we began hanging out one-on-one quite a bit. I would say it was about equal with how much time I was spending with both of them, and we all three would do things together almost every day. One night in March, we were all watching a movie, and Tom put his hand on my thigh under the blanket and kept it there for the whole film. The next day, we had a conversation about it, but I can't say it made me uncomfortable. I didn't realize it at the time, but I had feelings for him probably since early first semester. Some more things happened after, nothing that was outright cheating as they define it, but definitely things you do that are more that are in the more than friends territory. He confessed that he had feelings for me around March 10th when we were drunk and kissed my hand, cheek, stomach, etc. Another night, April 10th, we were all on a night out and high off our faces, and he tried to kiss me and told me how much he loved me. After this, I can't help but love him too. He is all I think about, and we've had multiple conversations about how it needs to end, but it always comes back to something happening. Either he will do something or I will. A few weeks ago, I reached for his hand under the blanket, and we held hands for the whole movie. And it seems like we can't get past this. I love Elle with all my heart and don't want to lose either of them, but it's almost like this uncontrollable force. At no points has he made me uncomfortable. I get so excited every time I get to see him. I'm on summer break back home in the U.S. now, and they live in the UK, so nothing else physical will happen. However, we have been texting loads, and Elle went through them and blew up at me for being too much too often. The thing is, though, she has no idea the extent of it. The guilt is eating me alive, and a lot of the time I feel like a horrible person, but I can't help but feel upset at Tom for making me feel this way. I struggle to understand him, but on our latest call, he said he has no feelings for me anymore. I can't say the same. Basically, I'm looking for some advice on how to stop feeling this way towards him. I've also been wrestling with telling Elle because I'm not sure how their relationship can go on after this. I constantly feel so, so confused and don't know how to go on. I can't change the past, even though I might want to. The first time that I stopped when I was reading this, mm-hmm. was when we get to the line that says, some more things happened after, nothing that was outright cheating. Cheating had already happened by the time you reached that point in the message.
Yes.
To be clear.
This is cheating.
Hey.
Hey.
This is cheating.
Hey.
This whole thing is cheating. And then the second time I stopped when I was reading this message for the first time is when you say, I love Elle with all my heart and don't want to lose either of them.
Hmm.
I don't know if I believe that.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the consequence of the action that you consciously chose to take
mm-hmm.
has a high likelihood of being a loss of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the choice that you made, and that is something that you will have to accept.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't personally believe that that's how you treat people that you love. If your friend submitted something to the box about this situation and learning about all of this, I don't think you'd like the advice that I would give her.
Yeah.
And I can have empathy for, like, you know, making a mistake and realizing you've made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have totally realized that this is a mistake based on how you've worded this.
Right.
I can have empathy for, like, making choices when you're young and in the heat of the moment and then looking back on it being like, I was a shitty fucking friend
mm-hmm.
and I never should have done that.
Yeah.
But yeah, every part of this is bad. And my reaction is not going to be one that sugarcoats that fact.
Mm-hmm.
I am very against cheating.
Yeah.
And I think that the emotional impact of cheating, what that does to people, is like far beyond what is often discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have known multiple people quite close to me in my life that have been through cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And so it riles me up when I hear people talk about engaging in cheating and being even nonchalant about it in the slightest. Like, oh, it just so happened that he put his hand on my thigh and I let him leave it there for the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kept doing that. And I don't know, it just happened. Like, suddenly we're here.
Right.
Cheating is like a very conscious choice that you make. It's not something that happens on accident.
Yeah.
You make a lot of very conscious choices throughout that whole journey. And they are ones that have an intensely negative impact on the person that you are, that is the real victim in all of this, which is your friend.
Yeah.
So the guilt is eating you alive. Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You did a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't go back and undo that, mm-hmm. but we can choose to take like full responsibility for what we've done and do our best to like alleviate some of the pain that you will have caused to your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So do I think she deserves to know about it? Yes, I do.
Yeah. Was that the question at the end of it?
At the end of it is just like,
I was so like lost in the sauce of this.
Yeah. The ending
she
is
absolutely
like,
does deserve to know about it. And debating. My money is on the fact that my money is on that. You will probably lose both of those relationships.
Yeah, and that's something you have to accept because those were the choices that you made.
Yeah.
And we can't go back, but you can learn from this moment and this choice that you've made. It is never worth it in any stretch of the imagination to entertain flirting with your friend's boyfriend.
Yeah. Here's what I will say, because I was not in this exact, like, scenario in college, but I did have a thing happen where, looking back on it, I was like, oh, I was like emotionally cheating with that person. And I was not friends with both of them. I was only friends with the man, did not know the woman that he was dating at the time. And he also did not reveal to me until about like 6 weeks into us being friends that he did have a girlfriend. And that was because someone asked him. I understand, as someone who has dealt with like deep and profound insecurity my entire life, and being told to kind of take what you're offered romantically for so, like, that's the narrative that's fed to you for so, it was the narrative that was fed to me for so long, and just accept it because you better not ask for more. I understand being in a situation where someone doing something really, really selfish actually feels selfless and good to you. That the man that I interacted with in college was not a good person. He was not a good person. He was very selfish. He was really lost. He had no idea what it was he actually wanted or who it was that he wanted to be. And whatever confusing feelings he did have for me, because at one point he didn't say he had feelings for me. He said that I made him happier than his girlfriend, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Whatever feelings he did have for me were born not out of his actual like love and affection for me. It was born entirely out of what he felt I was giving him at that time, which was emotional validation. It was attention. It was, you know, fluffing his ego and making him feel important. And I understand getting caught up in the confusion of that. And also, like, you do need to recognize how you are culpable in this as well.
Yeah.
And recognize your own responsibility in letting this relationship continue. After he told me that I made him happier than his girlfriend or whatever, and at that point, like, we really had just, like, nothing had ever had. That was, like, the craziest that it ever got, right? I talked to him about it and I was like, you can't say stuff like that to me. And it was really hard for me. I like cried a bunch. I was not cool about it at all. But like, I understand, even if it's a situation of like, he put his hand on your thigh or whatever, like that moment, even if like that night came and went, there should have been a discussion immediately after that happened of like, hey, this like really isn't okay. And again, I understand wanting that validation and wanting a man's attention, right? I get that. But this is not what love is.
Totally.
This is not what love is.
Yeah.
And I get being confused because maybe this is the closest you've ever come to it. And maybe this is how... this is, again, the closest you've ever felt to like that type of affection. But this like anguish and confusion and frankly like betrayal of other people's feelings is not love.
Yeah.
Love is like rooted in respect and friendship and understanding and communication and compassion. He certainly has not been that. And it seems like, from what I can tell, it seems like he kind of led the charge. And also, you have not necessarily you have not been embodying those traits either. I think this is like, I hate to do the thing of like, you'll understand when you're older. Because it's like, I also don't know how old you are. So like, whatever, you could be fully my age and just in uni right now, but like this also seems like a profoundly like 21 year old thing to experience.
Totally.
And just know that like you do deserve more, and you should expect more from other people, and you should also expect more from yourself and hold yourself to a higher standard, because what you're doing now isn't okay. And it's something that people do when they do not feel secure or sure in themselves.
Yeah.
Cheating is not something that happy people do.
No.
Oh my God. Like, I guarantee that all the, I don't have feelings for you anymore. Like, yeah, it's bullshit. But also the whatever feelings he has for his current girlfriend are bullshit too.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's a bullshitter.
Totally. It's also like the, you have to understand that like the person that you think that you have feelings for and are, you know, in love with, swept up with, whatever, the person you have inside your head, you need to like deconstruct that image a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He is a cheater.
He's a cheater.
You have feelings for a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
You are not special, mm-hmm, in the sense that like, oh, he has feelings for you because he's just like so in love with you. And that's why he cheated, because his feelings for you were so overwhelming and you're different. If you were together, he would do this to you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to be with someone that would do this to the person that they have committed themselves to? If you were Elle, how would you feel?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be her? Why would you aspire to be in the position of his girlfriend, knowing this is how he treats his girlfriend?
Yeah, sounds like being his girlfriend fucking would be miserable. Sucks. Sounds like it sucks. And you love, you don't, it's like, even if you think, even if you do believe that you love him in bits and pieces.
And you love an idea of him that isn't actually who he is.
Yes. Because who he actually is someone who is cheating.
Yeah.
And is being horrible to, again, his partner and to you.
Yeah.
And you are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's time to change and there's time to be different. And also, there needs to be a little recognition here of, like, I mean, I remember when I got to this point where I, like, literally had this, like, come to Jesus moment where I was like, what am I doing that, like, lets people think it's okay to, like, treat me this way? And it is, like, it's not an easy thing. Like, I want to be so clear that, like, if, and again, this is a big if, maybe, because maybe not, but, like, if you're confidence, security issues, whatever, are kind of rooted up or tangled up in like romantic validation, whatever, it's gonna take a minute to untangle those things,
yeah,
from each other. It takes a minute and it is hard fucking work.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you do that, you will find yourself in situations like this over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. And like at the end of your message, you say, you feel like a horrible person, but you feel upset at Tom for making you feel this way. He didn't make you feel this way.
Yeah. And my guess is that Tom also probably doesn't feel horrible.
Yeah. And like, there, I hope that you can forgive yourself for this, but also you need to go through the process of like fully owning,
yeah,
your part in it first.
Yeah.
Good people do bad things.
Yeah.
You can be a good person and still do something terrible, but you have to acknowledge that you did a bad thing.
Yeah.
And that, like, this was something that you had a part in, too.
Mm-hmm.
He has, I mean, everyone's in agreement that he's a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's arguing on that.
Yeah. He sucks.
Has made his own terrible choices.
Mm-hmm.
But you've made yours, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not too late to be different, and it's not too late to, like, again, want more than, yeah, this god-awful treatment. And, yeah, want more, again, want more for yourself. Like,
mm-hmm,
have better expectations for yourself. Have better expectations for how you want to show up for your friends. Yeah. This is not any way to show up for a friend. I can't even imagine what I would do if I found out that one of my best friends was like culpable in cheating with my partner at the time.
Yeah.
That is like unfathomable to me.
Totally.
You know? So like,
I mean, I would go nuclear.
Yeah. I think I would be like, I think I would probably just like never talk to any to either of them again and just like
yeah I'd blow up my whole life
right no right
I'd blow everything up
I think I'd be like well you guys need to leave
yeah
leave the city like move
right
I'm not moving
yeah
I don't want to see your fucking asses anywhere
yeah
move
I think that she deserves the truth no matter how much it fucks up your life.
And also, like, start accepting the fact that you and Tom are never gonna fucking happen. And you never were.
Yeah.
Sorry, that might be so brutal, but, like, that guy's a wang, and, like, you guys are never going to be together.
Yeah.
And if you are, it's gonna be bad.
Totally. It's a good thing that you'll never be together.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
He sucks right now, and you also kind of suck right now.
Yeah.
But like you got it starts change starts with you.
Totally.
Queen.
Yeah. Tell her everything.
Yeah.
You hold do need, back nothing.
If you do really want to be different. And
if you actually love her and care for her.
Yeah.
Tell her everything.
Then she deserves
and let
the truth.
React however she's going to react.
Yep. And you need to go into it accepting the fact that her reaction might be never wanting to fucking talk to you again.
And that would be super normal of her.
Yep. That's a really, really normal response
on
her part.
That would be really reasonable of her.
Again, the fact that my response would be making people move away. Yeah. Just like experiencing love at like 21 or whatever, what you think is love at 21 mm-hmm. is just awful.
Yeah,
it's just awful because none of it is ever a lifetime. It's always just a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of it.
It's always just a fucking
every
lesson.
Last bit. Yeah,
and that's why I don't trust anyone who says that they met their soulmate between ages 14 to 27.
No, they're in purgatory.
They're in purgatory. And I have several people very, very close to me
who are in purgatory.
Who are currently married to the people that they met in their teens. And I wish you nothing but the best and I love you so much. But 99.9999999% of the time.
Everyone else, though?
Not you guys. Love you guys. Wish you nothing but the best. Everybody else, take a good long look at yourself.
Yeah.
Woof.
Woof is right.
Woof.
So I'm sure that if you listen to this podcast, you know that I have hard and fast opinions when it comes to cheating. So
yeah.
I imagine that you knew this was the kind of response you were gonna get. But I hope that you're able to reach a place where you can fully own what it is that you've done. And also that you're able to forgive yourself mm-hmm. and know that, like, you are someone who is allowed to do something bad and still be a good person.
Yeah.
And this doesn't have to be a moment that, like, defines your character.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one that you should really learn from.
Yeah.
And take to heart.
Or let it, like, define your character in the opposite way.
Yeah.
Like, make the choice that you aren't going to be this person.
Yeah. Cheating isn't a passive thing.
No.
So we might have to do some thinking about the active role we played in all of this.
Be critical. You get that. You go to school in the UK.
Sorry, spoke a different language
Sorry.
For a second.
Sorry,
there.
You might not have understood me for a second. Sorry. I was actually speaking a different language.
Critical thinking, love.
It's critical thinking. Get into it.
Dude, I need Love Island to come back. I haven't spoken in a British accent for too long.
I miss it.
Okay.
It's an ugly mug.
Dude, you made Elle feel like a Muppet. Okay. God, I miss them.
I look like a Muppet.
Okay. I've been dating my current boyfriend for about 5 months and I adore him. We met through friends and have a lot of fun together. He's the sweetest man that I've ever been with. Mm-hmm. He's super funny, very smart, perceptive, and an absolute joy to be around. All in all, I could see us having a really lovely future together. That said, I'm wondering if I should be concerned that he still hasn't said he loves me yet. Honestly, I may be putting too much stock in this because action-wise, it's very clear that he cares for me deeply. Lots of affirmation, physical affection outside of sex, enthusiasm for trying new things together, and a general openness to vulnerability. However, because I've already told him that I love him, 2 months in, baby, low-key kind of embarrassing, but fuck it. I'm starting to worry about what his hang-up might be. This is his first serious relationship, so it makes sense that it would take him a little while to solidify his understanding of what love feels like for him in a romantic context. But still, the lack of an I love you does pique my anxiety. Do you think I'm completely out of line for this? Should I simply have the conversation with him and ask him about it? Something like, hey, I've noticed that you haven't said you love me yet. I'm just like seeing your reaction at the corner of my eye. And while I don't want to pressure you into saying it before you're ready, I do want to confirm that we're on the right track so I don't waste my time hoping for something you can't give me. Or could this be indicative of a larger issue? I was in a 6-year relationship that ended in 2023 where one of our biggest issues was me feeling like too much all the time due to my anxiety and general intensity. This go around, I'm trying my best not to minimize my feelings and to voice my concerns rather than suppressing them for the sake of not pushing my partner away. I'm worried that my current boyfriend not saying he loves me is indicative of us not having equal buy-in to the relationship. I care about him very, very much, but I'm not willing to sacrifice my own feeling of security within relationships at the altar of his indecision. What do you think? Am I giving him grace or am I simply enabling him to waste my time? We need to pause game. We need to pause game so severely. Sister, I love you and I see a lot of myself in you, but we have to pause game. Pause game. Don't say that to him. The thing that you said, should I say that to him? I'm telling you right now, don't say it.
Don't.
Do not say that.
Don't. Don't.
Don't. Don't.
Sorry.
Okay.
I don't. Really quick.
Don't say that.
Really quick. Don't say that. You have been dating for 5 months.
Very normal to have not said I love you at 5 months.
That is
super normal.
So regular. I frankly, and this is a reflection not of you, it is a reflection of me, because I am, as my therapist says, maybe a little afraid of commitment. We're working on it. whatever. If someone told me that they were in love with me after we had been dating for 2 months, I would be like, you're actually fucking not. If I fuck, and that would be my warmest reaction to them. That would be like, yeah. If I fucked with them as hard as I possibly could, if they told me that they love me, I would be like, no, you fucking don't.
Yeah.
You don't know me well enough. You don't know me well enough. Get back to me in 8 months. Yeah. And then we'll talk. I think the fact that you told him that you loved him 2 months in and he wasn't like, I gotta go, bye, means that he is really into you.
Yeah.
It sounds like
he's doing everything wonderfully.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He seems super into you. You are shooting yourself in the foot by fixating on this.
Yeah.
It's not him. It's you.
And I do really want to hone in on the moment where you said that you were in a 6-year long relationship and you constantly felt like you were being too much and doing too much. Mm-hmm. Sounds like this might be a shadow of that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. That is the part of this that I feel like, oh, I so understand you, because from one anxious girl to another,
yeah,
like I've been there,
yeah,
so many times in my life,
yeah.
And also in moments like this where you're like having the anxious reaction, where like the anxious voice in your brain is like, oh my God, is it not normal? And like, I feel so vulnerable and embarrassed because I said I love you and he still hasn't. And does that mean that he's indecisive or not sure about me and he's not matching me and whatever? And there's this like anxious voice that is just like rattling off possible negative scenarios. Understand that that voice is not a truth teller. Mm-hmm. That is something that you have to look at, look in the face of, and say, that voice is something that at one point served me. Mm-hmm. That voice became a part of my brain at one point in my life as a way to protect me. Mm-hmm. This voice that gave me all of the possible worries and things that could be happening came about at a time in my life where I needed extra protection.
Yeah.
This voice is trying to protect me, but right now I don't need to be protected because I am in a safe, loving relationship with someone who really cares for me.
Yeah.
So I don't need to worry. and this voice that's trying to protect me, I don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. And you, instead of thinking about all the ways that you can maybe bring this up to him, I don't think this is about him. This is about you and your anxiety and a protective mechanism that you built up in a previous relationship that is leaking its way into your current one that it doesn't need to be present for.
Yeah.
If you want to, obviously, if you want to share your, the fact that you maybe struggle with like relationship anxiety with your partner, that's totally normal and fine, mm-hmm. to let them in on that part of it. To frame this as being like, you know, you need to confirm that you're on some kind of track, and like verifying that he will be able to at some point tell you he loves you, you're looking for a kind of like safety or affirmation that, like, I don't think is something that you should ask for, and I don't think it's something that he can give you, because it's not about him and something he's not doing. He's doing everything wonderfully. He's, you guys have been dating for 5 months. It's super normal to have not said I love you by 5 months. I would even jump to say that that is probably more common,
yeah,
than saying it beforehand.
Yeah.
This is not something that he needs to solve for you. This is a wound that you need to face yourself. Mm-hmm. Someone else cannot offer you that kind of like anxiety soothing. Mm-hmm. This is something that you need to face and unpack within yourself. And I say this with so much love because I cannot express to you how deeply I have also been there.
Yeah.
And like realizing how much anxiety that I have around dating that is rooted in like this version of myself, this voice that was conjured up at a point in my life where I needed more self-protection, mm-hmm. where there was some value in having that extra layer of anxiety and question asking and verifying to make sure the person that I was spending time with was actually respecting me and caring for me and all of these things. That voice comes from a place of self-protection. But you at some point have to realize that you don't need it anymore, mm-hmm. and that you are capable of like sitting in the at times uncomfortable position of not knowing the answers to everything or how things are going to shake out. You don't need to know, mm-hmm. if he's going to say I love you to you at some point in time. This is like you seeking this feeling of safety and certainty where there is none. We can't know how relationships are going to shake out at the end of it all when we're just in the middle of them. You have to learn to like enjoy this in the middle period of allowing your feelings to develop naturally without knowing if there's going to be a point in time where, you know, you're together forever or you break up. Like, you are not supposed to have all the answers right now. That is a kind of safety and clarity that is very normal for you to not have at 5 months into a relationship. You need to be okay with accepting that and get a little better at looking your anxiety in the face and telling it to fuck off. It's hard. But I think it starts with you, not him.
Ditto. No, you're right. I mean, I think like, yeah, you're trying to put guardrails around parts of your life that haven't even happened yet.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, I'm also an anxious person, and I, you know, one of my favorite jokes, I don't know if my therapist likes it, but one of my favorite jokes that I say in therapy is one of my favorite things in the whole world is knowing everything and being able to control it.
Dude, me too.
And it's awesome. It feels so good to know shit and be able to have control over it. And Maddie's exactly right. Like, this is the part that you cannot control. Famously, it's like in every song, in every book, in every film there ever was, is that you can't make someone get to a feeling that they are, sounds like he is, like, naturally headed towards anyway.
Yeah.
Me personally, like, because I think she also mentioned that this is the first serious relationship he's ever been in, right?
Yeah.
I as someone who has never been in a serious relationship, like, when that does happen for me, the way that I am going to be taking my sweet, sweet time, enjoying every aspect of what it means to be in a relationship that feels really good, enjoying being with someone who is excited to me, excited by me, and letting myself really and truly like fall into love with somebody. And I'm not trying to rush that at all.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what he is doing too. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, if you really do love this person and you want a like lifelong partnership with them, then you will have to learn how to be patient for these things.
Yeah. And I think how you end your message when you say, I'm not willing to sacrifice my own feeling of security within a relationship at the altar of his indecision. This is like the turning point in like where anxious attachment starts to show like signs of avoidance.
Yes.
Or they say that like a lot of anxious attachers, they have their own way of avoiding things.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Because that is not what's happening.
He's not being indecisive.
If that's the story you're telling yourself, then you are giving yourself like a reason to walk away from this thing that is otherwise really great for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story you're telling yourself is that you are seeking a kind of security that he can't give you and he's being indecisive and yada yada. That's not what's happening.
Right.
He's not indecisive.
He's not. He's choosing you over and over and over again every single day.
You are looking for him to say words that would alleviate this fear that you have of someone not being able to match you or thinking you're too much. It comes from a really real place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get it so badly. You don't even know, dude.
Yeah.
I understand. And also, you need to look that beast in the face and tell it to fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, you can't all of a sudden, like, just look to it and be like, and that's the truth. And this voice inside my head that's telling me all these crazy things, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the truth that I'm going to live by. It's not real.
It's not real. This is a classic, is it my anxiety or is it my intuition? It's your anxiety, girl. Yeah.
It's your anxiety.
It's your anxiety.
And you, like, the solution to this anxiety isn't, like, seeking constant, like, affirmation from someone. Like, okay, you don't have to say I love you, but, like, could you? Could you someday? You just have to sit with that anxiety and that not knowing and get used to it a little bit.
Because that's also just part of being in a relationship.
Totally.
But, you know, it's like,
you don't know what's going to happen or how things are going to shake out.
Yeah. And that's part of sharing your life with somebody is that it adds, part of sharing your life with somebody is choosing to bring another variable into your life. That's not all of it, but it is a part of it. That you are choosing to bring someone into your life as an anxious person who likes to control everything, who you have no control over.
Yeah.
You don't have any control over what they're going to do. And that is a risk. And it's always going to be a risk. And it's one that if you find someone like this person who it sounds like is nothing but a good partner to you, that's the risk that's like worth taking.
Yeah.
Because that's the give and take with this is that you gain this beautiful partnership. What you release is some of that need for control.
Yeah.
And again, like I can't envision a world where I enter into a relationship. I wait to say I love you to like friends. Love also, it's like, this is so, like a dumb, this is like a something you'd see on a fortune cookie, but like that thing of like, love is a verb, not a noun. Like, he is showing you that he cares about you every single day from everything that you said. I personally, when you started reading this, I was like, oh, he's like the perfect guy. Everything's going great. The sex is going to be really bad. Yeah. And then like smushed in between all of that was like, the sex is amazing, blah, blah, blah. We have such a great time. He's perfect. And I was like, oh, so then what's the issue?
Yeah. And then when she says that she's worried and wants to make sure she doesn't waste time hoping for something that he can't give her.
He's giving it to you.
Right. Ask yourself what it is. Like, what is it that you're actually talking about?
Yeah.
Because if you list out all of the things you look for in a partner and hope for in a relationship, it sounds like he's
ticking those boxes.
The only thing he hasn't done is say, I love you, which is not a reason to break up with someone. No.
What he is not giving you is your desire for omnipresent control over every aspect of your life.
And that is, sister, I can't tell you how badly I get you. Like, I get it.
And it would, like, be
it is fucking dumb that we don't have all the answers all the time. Like, I wish that I knew that I got to go through life with complete certainty that everything was going to shake out the way that I hope they do. I wish that I had that certainty too.
I wish that. I get it.
I do understand.
God, I wish that so bad.
And also,
and yet,
here, what can we do?
Here we are.
So
you got this, girl.
Yeah,
this don't is, break this up is with you this man.
Be you right now, please. Totally. Do not break up with him. Do not say what you were debating saying. Just like understand that this is you v you.
This is like so 100% you. It's player one v player one right now, dude.
It is all inside your head right now.
It is, yeah. This is...
Yeah, if you don't have a therapist, I would encourage you to look into getting one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't understand the session upon sessions of work my therapist and I have done on this exact topic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's much for you to enjoy there. Yeah. In the indulgence of... Okay. If you're not in therapy... I think you'd have a great time in therapy.
A cornucopia of of healing awaits you.
It, honestly, and it's awesome.
And it's awesome.
So, something to think about. From someone who is in therapy and talks about my anxiety in interpersonal relationships,
mm-hmm.
ad nauseum.
Yes. Yeah. Seconded as someone who is also in therapy and takes medication for said anxiety. And continues to want to control every little aspect of my life at any given time forever and ever. Amen.
Please. Please. Let me control everything.
Is that too much to ask for?
Come on. The direction goes crazy up here. I could build a beautiful life for myself if only you all just let me decide everything.
Let me pick. Let me pick.
Please.
I have awesome ideas.
Well, on that note, we're going to throw it on over to the post show.
Okay.
On Patreon.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're dying for some more Maddie Meg hours, guess what?
Double M, baby.
There is a little bit more over on the pitch. So absolutely. Love you guys so much. Meg, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Well, when we go over to the next channel, I am going to show my tits. Live.
Huge for
it's
the gonna
happen. So if you want to see that, head on over to the Patreon. What else do I want to plug?
Meg has an awesome Substack.
Oh yeah, I have
that
a Substack.
I do love reading.
Thank you so much. I need to write something soon. I have a Substack. It's called What Are You Up To? It rocks. I truly just write for the love of the game. I think I have like maybe 240 subscribers, so like I love our little community that we have over there. Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Meg Rocco. I've started making reels.
Love it.
I'm doing that now.
On that social grind.
I'm on that social grind. I'm on TikTok. You can follow me, Meg Rocco. And what else do I have going on? Hey, if you see me around, hey, say hi. Maybe I'll invite you to my flirting and kissing party.
Yeah, that's happening soon.
Flirting kissing party. Actually, 2K25. And this is so critical. If you want to come to my flirting kissing party, you have to have at least 2 single men or very hot women. And also the men have to be very hot. I want to be so clear.
Very hot, very sexy single people.
Very hot, very sexy single people that you will bring with you.
That you would co-sign.
Yes. Otherwise, you're not invited. Sorry. Everyone who comes to the Patreon, they will be invited.
Right, yeah. We're releasing address on
I'm
Patreon.
Releasing, I'm doxing myself. If you go over to the Patreon, I will dox myself, and that is a promise. And that's it.
And that's it, you guys. So we'll see you on over there. And if not, I will see you in next week's episode. Goodbye.
Bye.